Welcome aboard, everybody. Michael Cohen here with you, and we got a very special, because it's Jets versus Giants week, and this happens only once every 4 years. Yes, we're used to seeing these two teams battle it out every summer in the preseason, but this takes a different meaning when it's the regular season. Very, very rarely do we see this matchup where both teams are playing either A, well, or B, both in a situation where they're both trying to stay alive for the playoffs. When that's the case, usually the game's kind of crazy, and I think we were in for a very crazy game on Sunday. Both teams, well, the Jets are still very much in the thick of things, but the Giants kind of teetering on the brink right now. So joining me to talk about all that is from Just Another Jets podcast, is the one and only Rick Loughlin. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael, and you alluded to the fact that both teams are never trending in the right direction. I believe this is the first time in the last 15 meetings between the Jets and Giants that both teams are coming off a win. So that just shows you the state of New York football, not only in recent memory, but this is going back like 20 plus years. So it is a bit unusual. Let's face it, though, neither one of these teams to this point has been a real world beater by any stretch.
No, there's no juggernaut from either one of these teams. And really, both teams are kind of in the same spot. Both teams are playing well defensively. I would say the Jets run of playing successful defensive football compared to the Giants, where the Giants just kind of figured out the last couple of weeks. But both teams dealing with starting quarterbacks. I think when the schedule came out, they were saying, hey, it's going to be Daniel Jones against Aaron Rodgers. Well, it's not the case at all. It's Tyrod Taylor against Zach Wilson. This is, to me, a game that's, if you are the Jets, it's kind of a scary game because you come in 3-3. You're actually expected to win this game. The Jets are a 3-point favorite, but the Giants have played well the last couple of weeks. They seem comfortable with Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't light up the scoreboard, but he doesn't turn the ball over, and the Jets are a team that predicates their success on forcing turnovers. So it's going to be a very intriguing matchup on paper.
Yeah, even Daniel Jones, again, he's been a limited participant in practice this week. It's pretty unlikely he's going to be cleared to play, you know, depending how this Giants season goes over the next few weeks, and if they're even within an earshot of a playoff shot, maybe you bring him back. But I would say he's doubtful at best for this game. So again, for the Jets, look, you have big play potential when you have Daniel Jones in the lineup. He can beat you with his legs. We've seen how Russian quarterbacks have hurt the New York Jets, whether it's from Jalen Hurts to Pat Mahomes, and certainly Daniel Jones fits in that caliber of quarterback as far as mobile quarterbacks is concerned. So Tyrod Taylor, can he get around the pocket? Yes, 34 years of age. He's not exactly as athletic and as much of a run threat as he once was. Mm-hmm. But where I'd be a little cautious if I were a Jet fan is the fact that, yeah, he's a steadying hand. He's not going to make the spectacular play, but he's not going to make the boneheaded play. And this could be the kind of game we talked about, the weather conditions for the start of the show. Could be sloppy, could be rainy conditions. That kind of plays right into the Giants' hands. You know, Wink Martindale certainly has a reputation for dialing up the pressure on Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's been a turnover-prone quarterback at least the last 3 weeks. He's kind of corrected that. But again, for me, ultimately, I think this could set up for an interesting game and one that you mentioned, Michael. It really is almost a lose-lose for the Jets because you're expected to win. If you don't win, that puts your playoff chances in serious jeopardy heading into a matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers next Monday night. And for the Giants, their season's on life support. There's no way around it. So this is an absolute must-win for them at home as the co-tenants at MetLife Stadium.
I think this game's really going to come down to running the football. I mean, I know that gets talked about way too much sometimes, and especially in a league where everything's predicated on throwing the ball now. But just the idea of the matchup, Breece Hall against Saquon Barkley matching wits basically in this game, I think whoever can succeed in stopping the other is going to have the best chance to win this game. Barkley has looked good the last couple weeks since coming back off of injury, but then again, you're going up against that Jet front seven. The Jets are very good at stopping the run. They're very good at getting pressures, not just on the quarterback, but also getting hits and sacks. So I think from that standpoint, the Jets have a very good chance. Plus, they're getting healthy. They're getting Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed back off of injury. So that plays into the Jets' favor, but you know how the Jets do against Saquon Barkley is going to be play a big role in this game, especially on being able to put pressure on Tyrod Taylor later on. And Breece Hall, you know, we've seen him have great games. We've seen him have games where he, you know, has gotten stuffed. The Eagle game, he got shut down pretty much for three quarters, and the Jet offense, as we saw, was basically invisible until the end of the game. So that is really the matchup to watch, is how these two guys at running back, Barkley and Hall, do in this game to determine who wins.
And it could for me. And again, depending on weather conditions, and what you want to watch for is the confidence of Nathaniel Hackett in Zach Wilson. Is he going to put the training wheels on him? Are we going to see more Zach Wilson from essentially the New England Patriots game, where he's not even allowed to throw the football with regularity? They're going to run the ball, maybe a punt fest. And look, that might be the Jets' best and safest path to victory. Might not be pretty. We alluded to a lot of the injuries. This Giants defense is quietly the last couple of weeks, of course, holding both the Washington Commanders and the Buffalo Bills to really one offensive touchdown. And that's a Buffalo Bills squad that, you know, I know they lost New England this past week. They can put points on the board, hung up 48 against Miami, who, of course, is leading the division. So this Giants defense, while the Jets are going to get all the attention for the turnovers they've been causing, how they're able to wreak havoc on the quarterback, I keep going back to that matchup, Wink Martindale matching wits with Nathaniel Hackett, getting inside Zach Wilson's head. And if Zach Wilson has shown any type of vulnerability in his young career, it's to the blitz. And this is a nightmare matchup. But again, leaning heavily on Breece Hall, you have a couple guys in question. I know that Mekhi Becton's banged up. Joe Pittman suffered an injury. His status is in question. Ultimately, for me, again, I'd like to see the Jets allow the defense to continue to make plays and not put the offense in a position where they're giving the Giants the ball deep in their own territory, because Zach Wilson's trying to force throws. So it's going to be that delicate balance between taking the training wheels off Zach Wilson, but not fully letting him air it out, so to speak, because this Giants defense, I really do feel like they are underrated. Even going back a few weeks, Thursday nighter against the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy and that running attack, they did a really fantastic job of holding them down for 3.5, for almost 4 quarters. So I think the Jets have to be pretty leery of how they're attacking Wink Martindale on that defense.
On the other side of the ball, defensively, I would say probably if you had an X factor from the Giants standpoint, you have to look at Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, I know a lot of people have gotten on him. You know, maybe he's not putting up the big numbers that a lot of people would expect from a, you know, first round pick, second overall, third overall, wherever it was drafted. But his numbers aren't bad. I mean, he has 5.5 sacks. He's playing in a defensive scheme that doesn't exactly allow for outside linebackers and defensive ends to get a lot of sacks and pressures. And he's done well. He almost had a pick six last week against Washington. That, to me, is a guy that if I'm the Jets, I would be leery about, especially in situations where you're either A, trying to get your short yardage passing game going, or B, you're just trying to protect your quarterback and, you know, you had just have him coming off the edge and rough shot off of a running back.
Yeah, and Kayvon Thibodeau, I mean, he's never going to live down. He basically could have fair caught that interception and walked in the end zone. The fact that he dropped that, he already caught the ire of Giants fans for, you know, supposed effort issues, celebrating sacks maybe a little bit too much and being a bit overhyped as a top prospect. But like I said, I mean, you have playmakers on that Giants defensive side of the ball. Dory Jackson is a guy to watch. He's also banged up. And along the Giants offensive line, Andrew Thomas, maybe back Evan Neal, who's been an turnstile. It's almost shades of Wayne Hunter when he's with the Jets watching Evan Neal play. And you just feel bad for Giants fans having to deal with that. But for me, again, if you're looking at the Giants game plan against the Jets, it's really to bottle up Breece Hall and essentially take Garrett Wilson away and make one of those other guys, whether it's a Randall Cobb, whether it's Alan Lazard or Conklin or one of the tight ends, try to beat you. Because ultimately, you know, the New York Jets on defense have been fantastic. The one area where I say they've been vulnerable, which we touched on, was quarterbacks getting out and running and hurting them in space, but also tight ends. I really want to see Darren Waller, another guy. I mean, this injury report that I'm looking at right now is probably 20 players long. Darren Waller has been a guy that's been dinged up quite a bit. And if he's ready to go and can play, that guy is a game and a game changer that ultimately could be a real threat for this Giants offense inside the red zone.
Well, he hasn't had a great year so far. I mean, they haven't really gotten him involved much offensively. He did have a touchdown last week against Washington, but we all know the Jets have had issues covering tight ends in the past. We'll see how that plays out in this game. But I think from the standpoint of one thing the Jets have been very adept at defensively is this. They give up a lot of chunk plays. They give up a lot of chunk plays early. They'll give up their points early. And really, over the last several weeks, they've been able to shut people down in the second half of games. They shut down Kansas City, held them only 3 points in the second half of the game that the Jets probably should have won. Blanked Denver in the second half of their game. Blanked the Eagles in the second half of the game a couple weeks ago. So they're really good at making adjustments at halftime. So you got to tip your cap to Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich in that regard. But I guess you could say my X factor from the defensive standpoint would be The Williams brothers. You got Quinnen and Quincy Williams. I mean, Quincy Williams is just all over the field. He makes big plays. He gets hits on the quarterback. He causes fumbles, forces interceptions. He is really a nightmare for the Giants, who've had a lot of issues on their offensive line. He could be, I mean, the Jets could send 5-6 guys after Tyrod Taylor, and all the problems the Giants have had on the offensive line. We talk about the Jets' problems in the offensive line. The Giants could be in for a long afternoon against that Jet front seven.
And it's funny, if we're talking X factor, the more I think about this game, probably going to be close, like you said, it has 14-10 written all over it. To me, I think the special teams game is going to be critical as far as who's going to win the battle between Graham Gano. He's on the injury report. Is he going to play? Likely to play. And, of course, Greg Zuerlein could come down to a late kick, could come down to field position between Thomas Morstead in the punting game. And also you have, Xavier Gibson as the X factor in the return game. So I would not be surprised if, based on how this game goes, if the Jets are not clicking offensively and Nathaniel Hackett's not taking the training wheels off, that basically Robert Saleh is going to ride the coattails of that defense and the special teams game to try to get the Jets to escape with a victory here. And you were mentioning about, you know, it's a two-sided coin, right? Because you're talking about how the Jets are making great second-half adjustments. One touchdown in the second half all season, I think seven in the first half. And to me, it's almost like Jeff Olbrich, whatever game plan he's coming up with during the week, Robert Saleh says to him at halftime, okay, that was great, Jeff. Let's rip that up and like start from scratch. And they were able to basically lock down an opponent and make real-time adjustments. And Jeff Olbrich alluded to that he's basically going to try to maybe simplify things and not get too cute, too many nuances in what they're trying to do. And he has so much talent on that side of the ball. You know, you can disguise some coverages, you can do certain things and wrinkles, but, you know, just line it up and let these guys go to work. As far as you mentioned, Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, I mean, the list, John Franklin Myers, list goes on and on and on. And even JFM, John Franklin Myers, had mentioned that, you know, he's a little disappointed that the Jets' sack total isn't what they expected it to be. You know, they're certainly getting pressure when they're not blitzing, but, you know, I don't see that as a bad thing. I think teams have went to school on the Jets. They've scouted them. They understand that the ball's got to come out quickly. And a Tyrod Taylor, who I think is a heady guy, a cerebral quarterback, is just going to follow in suit and do that. So, you know, you're going to try to dial up pressure against Tyrod Taylor. You're going to create a lot of openings and maybe some, you know, throwing lanes that wouldn't be there if they're just sitting in some soft coverage. So I'm really curious to see how this Jets defense comes out in that first quarter and tries to set the tone, because this can't be the kind of game like they came out against Kansas City and go down 17-0. I really do have a healthy respect for this Giants defense, that if this gets to be a double-digit deficit and not in the Jets' favor, this Giants defense can make life awfully difficult for Zach Wilson and the Jets' offense.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, if this gets into double digits on either way, the game will be in jeopardy, because, again, I mean, that both of these defenses are very capable of shutting down the other offense, and that's why I think you're going to be seeing a very ugly football game on Sunday. You mentioned 14-10, like 16-9, that kind of game where it's just going to be a nail biter. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers and this comeback? Because a couple weeks ago during the Eagles game, before the Eagles game, we all get the notification on our phones, and they're doing the Jets pregame show on the Jets website, and all of a sudden you see Aaron Rodgers throwing a football, and he's putting pressure on his injured leg and on his plant foot, and you're thinking, is this guy actually going to do this? Is he actually going to? I mean, is he going to start taking snaps from under center? You know, by mid November. I mean, it's crazy what's going on right now with him.
And I settled into my seat at MetLife Stadium, and I had a popcorn in hand and an adult beverage, and I had to do a double take, and I thought, what is in this popcorn? What is in this adult beverage? Am I seeing Aaron Rodgers on the field? I mean, it was like surreal. But I think reality's starting to hit a little bit. He came on the Pat McAfee show. He's on weekly, basically, and said, you know, there were some, hurdles this week, and it was a difficult week. And this rehab is not, again, going to be a 1 week or 1 month process. It's just constantly making incremental progress. So Aaron Rodgers, if anything, has not shown he's the most patient guy in the world. He's obviously trying to fast track this return to the field, which I know makes certainly myself a lot very much nervous, and I think Jets fans should be nervous as well. But look, if this is all kind of a PR move, he's gonna, you know, play catch the Eli Manning before this game, and he's gonna try to show that he's, you know, on the road to recovery. If that has a positive impact on this locker room to keep them together, it instills confidence in Zach Wilson, I'm okay with it. The Jets are next probably 5, at least 6 weeks away from even making a decision whether to allow Aaron Rodgers to try this miraculous, unheard of kind of comeback situation. But I'm of the belief, look, I believe in miracles. If it happens, I'm there for him. But at this point, like, I'll believe it when I see it. And I think a lot of Jets fans are kind of taking that cautious optimism, not necessarily like Mike Greenberg at ESPN, who's, going over the moon and already, predicting what week that he's going to come back on Christmas Eve against the Command. I think that.
We'll see.
Nonsense.
I mean, if you ask me, I would love to see him come back for the Vegas game. that would set the world on fire. It kind of reminds me of the Edwin Diaz rehab, because Diaz got he had the ACL injury. You're thinking this guy's probably not going to see the field again the rest of the season. And then by the middle of summer, he's, stretching and doing bullpen sessions. Like, is this real? Is Edwin Diaz actually going to try to? And at that point, the Mets are pretty much out of it anyway. So I think that this could depend on where the Jets are in the standings. If they're in the mix for a sixth or seventh seed, and you're just kind of coasting along with Zach Wilson, you're sitting there at 7-7 or 7-6. Could I see the Jets saying, "Okay, let's give this a shot and see what happens"? And if they're at best an eighth seed, or two games out of the seventh seed, and it's not looking like they're going to catch up, then I would just say, reconvene in March and see how he is by that point. For the offseason.
Knowing Jets fans' luck, Rodgers will come back in time to play 60% of the snaps, and the Jets will have to forfeit that draft pick after all. I mean, again, this is look where we are this week with the Jets sitting at 3-3. I mean, I can't tell you, being at that stadium for the opener, that felt like that was about 25 years ago. Aaron Rodgers came out with the American flag on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11 and running out there like out of a Gladiator movie, and then we all know it happened on the fourth play of the season. So in the NFL, I mean, each week is almost its own season in and of itself. So who knows where we're going to be after this game? Who knows where we're going to be by Christmas Eve? There's so many factors as far as injuries are concerned, the playoff picture. I mean, you look at the AFC North, we talked about it. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals haven't even found their footing. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, all those teams at the playoffs ended today would be either in the playoffs or, like, right within striking distance of a wild card spot. So, the Jets are maybe, when they thought 9 wins would get them in, it's even though the AFC is not what a lot of people expected, there's a lot of parity and, maybe 9, if not 10 wins is going to need to get them in. So Jets just got to take care of business on Sunday and survive another week and hope that Zach Wilson just shows incremental improvement week by week. And like I said, if it's Aaron Rodgers and he's rubbing stones together and doing all sorts of mystical powers and the earth is flat and anything that he believes in that's going to get him back on the field or instill confidence in the locker room, I'm okay with.
Do you think we'll see Daniel Jones again this year? Not really. Because I have my doubts.
No, I really, to be honest with you, I don't think we will. I think that, I don't have the utmost confidence in the Jets actually winning this game. If they do, I mean, this season is all but lost for the Giants if it's not already. I know that their schedule, much like the Jets, lightens up a bit. But realistically, what's the point of bringing back Daniel Jones? This is not a turned ankle. This is not maybe a sprained wrist. This is a neck injury. So, they have a lot of money invested in him, whether they end up going with Tyrod Taylor or try to go for a higher draft pick and then ultimately have a succession plan to get off the Daniel Jones contract after the next season and transition to another quarterback. That might be their long-term strategy, because at this point, again, it'd be kind of fickle if the Giants are 2-7, 2-8, and putting Daniel Jones in there to be ransacked behind that offensive line. I mean, that's just asking for trouble, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe when Aaron Rodgers comes, if he does come back for that Christmas Eve game, maybe what the Jets should do, since they're now experts at pregame ceremonies, as we saw with these primetime games, maybe what they should do is they should just introduce the offense and then introduce Santa Claus, but it's like Aaron Rodgers like hiding in a Santa Claus suit.
Either that or it's Vinny Testaverde in a Santa suit.
Oh, God.
Beard.
Well, he's already gray, so there you go. He's won half the battle in that regard, right? Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. I mean, disaster. Like I said, this has been just all the emotions, the roller coaster of emotions in that week one this season, for whatever reason, and it's been up and down 500 at this point, right? Win one, lose one, win two. It, to me, it's like every Jet fan, I feel like, has aged probably 5 more years than they wanted to this season, but it's still all right in front of them. I mean, they have an opportunity to make some noise. I mean, even just to get a playoff berth would be such a big deal for the first time since the 2010 season. So, if you're a Jet fan, you at least have to look at the glass half full that they're still playing for something now, midway, towards the midway point of the year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So, before we go, what's your gut feeling? What how you think it's going to play out?
I think the Jets' offense is going to do just enough. I mean, I think Zach has been really, for the most part, mistake-free the last few weeks. I know he had the mishandled snap against the Kansas City Chiefs late in that game that ended up costing them dearly, but I do think – you know, that Wink Martindale is going to have some success. You might see a fumble and or an interception from Zach Wilson in this game. Tyrod Taylor is going to play it safe. He's not going to take any chances. He knows the Jets, they're going to lock down in the red zone. And I think the Jets are really going to hold the Giants mostly to field goals. I could see this being a 17-13 victory in favor of the Jets. And like I said, to me, it's going to be the special teams of the X factor. One missed kick here, field goal, one big return by Gibson could flip this game. And I could easily see that final score being reversed depending on how that plays out. And of course, the weather conditions, whether that's going to contribute another turnover or two into the equation with that infamous MetLife turf that everybody loves so much.
The Jets have not done well after bye weeks. It's been a long time since they've actually won a game after a bye week. So I guess in that regard, they're kind of due. But I agree with you that this is going to be a sloppy game. I think both of these offenses are going to struggle. It's going to come down to the defenses. I just trust the Jets defense a little bit more to make a couple of more big plays towards the latter part of the game and maybe force a mistake from Tyrod Taylor that he normally would not make. And at that point, you're looking at like I said, a 16-12, 16-9 type of game. It's all going to be dependent upon how this Jets defense handles, can shut down Tyrod Taylor, get some pressure on him. And as you said, Zach Wilson protecting the football.
And like I said, I'm far from confident in any and all that happening. But ultimately, for me, I just think that the Jets, the talent is there. The Giants have so many new pieces coming back on the offensive line. Tyrod Taylor, he's been solid, not spectacular. I mean, he had really an uncharacteristic play at the end of that first half against the Buffalo Bills in that Thursday night game where, you know, basically audible into a running play and running out of time instead of either kicking for a field goal or trying to go for a touchdown. And I don't see that playing out again. I think Brian Daboll is going to, you know, make sure he has a lot of scripted plays and making sure he's going to do a little bit of handholding for that offense. But again, I'd be concerned, like you said, Michael, this team is not one coming off of a bye week. Jeff Olbrich, if anything, maybe tends to overthink things as far as his game plan is concerned. Now he has an extra week to think about stuff. So, you know, the Jets, who knows, they may just take the game plan after the first few drives and just throw it in the fire pit and start fresh. I hope that's not the case. But again, I think the first quarter of this game is going to tell you a lot about who's going to, you know, pull away and win this game. Because like you said, I don't see either team coming back and clawing their way back from a double-digit deficit. It's almost going to be the first team to score 10 points wins this game.
Exactly. It's going to be a total slugfest. We'll see how this plays out. All right, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next time down the road. Again, that's Rick Laughlin from Just Another Jets Podcast. We'll be back right after this here on Fox Sports New Jersey.